We are continuing chapter 30 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which is called?
Grop.
They crept forward, and Harry saw that they were facing a large, smooth mound of earth, nearly as tall as Hagrid, that he thought, with a jolt of dread, was sure to be the lair of some enormous animal. Trees had been ripped up at the roots all around the mound so that it stood up on a bare patch of ground, surrounded by heaps of trunks and boughs that formed a kind of fence or barricade, behind which Harry, Hermione, and Hagrid now stood. "Sleepin'," said Hagrid. Sure enough, Harry could hear a distant rhythmic rumbling that sounded like a pair of enormous lungs at work. He glanced sideways at Hermione, who gazed at the mound with her mouth slightly open. She looked utterly terrified. "Hagrid," she said in a whisper, barely audible over the sound of the sleeping creature. "Who is he?" Harry found this an odd question. "What is it?" was the only one he had been planning on asking. "Hagrid, you told us," said Hermione, her wand now shaking in her hand. "You told us none of them wanted to come." Harry looked from her to Hagrid, and then, as realization hit him, he looked back in the mound with a small gasp of horror. The great mound of earth, on which he, Hermione, and Hagrid could easily have stood, was moving slowly up and down in time with a deep grunting breathing. It was not a mound at all. It was the curved back of what was clearly... "Well, no, he didn't want to come," said Hagrid, sounding desperate. "But I had to bring him, Hermione, I had to." "But why?" said Hermione, who sounded as though she wanted to cry. "Why, what, oh, Hagrid." "I knew if I just got him back," said Hagrid, sounding close to tears himself, "and taught him a few manners, I'd be able to take him outside and show everyone he's harmless." "Harmless," said Hermione shrilly, and Hagrid made a fantastic hushing noise with his hand as the enormous creature before them grunted loudly and shifted in sleep. "He's been hurting you all this time, hasn't he? That's why you've had those injuries." "He doesn't know his own strength," said Hagrid earnestly. "He's getting better. He's not fighting so much anymore." "So this is why it took you 2 months to get home?" said Hermione distractedly. "Oh, Hagrid, why did he want to bring him back if he didn't want to come? Wouldn't he have been happier with his own people?" "They were all bullying him, Hermione, because he's so small," said Hagrid. "Small?" said Hermione. "Small?" "Hermione, I couldn't leave him," said Hagrid, tears now trickling down his bruised face into his beard. "See, he's my brother." Hermione simply stared at him, her mouth open. "Hagrid, when you say brother," Harry said slowly, "do you mean..." "Well, half-brother," amended Hagrid. "Turns out me and my mother took up with another giant when she left my dad, and she went and had Grop here."
"Grop?" said Harry.
"Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like when he says his name," said Hagrid anxiously. "He don't speak a lot of English. I've been trying to teach him. Anyway, she doesn't seem to like him any more than she liked me. See, with giantesses, what counts is producing good big kids. He's always been on the runty side for a giant, only 16 foot. "Oh yes, tiny," said Hermione with a kind of hysterical sarcasm. "Absolutely minuscule. He was being kicked around by all of them. I just couldn't leave him."
"Did Madame Maxime want to bring him back?" asked Harry.
She could see it was important to me," said Hagrid, twisting his enormous hands. "But she got a bit tired of him after a while, I must admit, so we split up on the journey home. She promised not to tell anyone, though."
"How on earth did you get him back without anyone noticing?" said Harry.
"Well, that's why it took so long, see," said Hagrid. "But only traveled by night and through wild country and stuff. Of course, he covers ground pretty well when he wants to, but he just wanted to go back."
"Oh, Hagrid, why on earth didn't you let him?" said Hermione, flopping down on a ripped-up tree and burying her face in her hands. "What do you think you're going to do with a violent giant who doesn't even want to be here?"
"Well, now, violent, that's a bit harsh," said Hagrid, twisting his hands agitatedly. "I admit, he might take a couple of swings at me when he's in a bad mood. He's getting better, loads better, settling down well."
"What are the ropes for, then?" Harry asked. He just noticed ropes, thick as saplings, stretching from around the trunks of the largest nearby trees toward the place where Grop lay curled on the ground with his back to them.
"You have to keep him tied up," said Hermione faintly. Well, yeah, said Hagrid, looking anxious. See, it's like I say, he don't know his own strength. Harry understood now why there had been such a suspicious lack of any other living creature in this part of the forest. So what does you want Harry and Ron and me to do? Hermione asked apprehensively. Look after him, said Hagrid croakily, after I'm gone. Harry and Hermione exchanged miserable looks. Harry, uncomfortably aware that he had already promised Hagrid he would do whatever he asked. What does that involve, exactly? Hermione inquired. Not food or anything, said Hagrid eagerly. He can get his own food, no problem. Birds and deer and stuff. No, it's company he needs. If I just knew someone was carrying on, trying to teach him a bit, help him, you know. Harry said nothing, but turned to look back at the gigantic form lying asleep on the ground in front of them. Grop had his back to them. Unlike Hagrid, who simply looked like a very oversized human, Grop looked strangely misshapen. What Harry had taken to be a vast mossy boulder to the left of the great earthen mound, he now recognized as Grop's head. It was much larger in proportion to the body than a human head, almost perfectly round and covered with tightly curling, close-growing hair the color of bracken. The rim of a single large fleshy ear was visible on the top of his head, which seemed to sit, rather like Uncle Vernon's, directly on the shoulders with little or no neck in between. The back, under what looked like a dirty brownish smock, comprised of animal skins sewn roughly together, was very broad, and as Grop slept, it seemed to strain a little at the rough seams of the skins. The legs were curled under the body. Harry could see the soles of enormous, filthy bare feet, large as sledges, resting on top of one another on the earthy forest floor. "You want us to teach him?" said Harry in a hollow voice. He now understood what Firenze's warning had meant. His attempt is not working, he would do better to abandon it. Of course, the other creatures who lived in the forest would have heard Hagrid's fruitless attempts to teach Grop English. "Yeah, even just talk to him a bit," said Hagrid hopefully. "Because I reckon if he can talk to people, he'll understand more that we all like him, really, and he'll want to stay." Harry looked at Hermione, who peered back at him between the fingers over her face. "Kind of makes you wish we had Norbert back, doesn't it?" he said, and she gave a very shaky laugh. "You'll do it then?" said Hagrid, who did not seem to have caught what Harry had just said. "Well," said Harry, already bound by his promise. "We'll try, Hagrid." "I knew I could count on you, Harry," said Hagrid, beaming in a very watery way and dabbing at his face with his handkerchief again. "And I don't want you putting yourself out too much. Like, I know you got exams. If you could just nip down here in your invisibility cloak, maybe once a week, have a little chat with him. I'll wake him up, then introduce you." "What? No," said Hermione, jumping up. "Hagrid, don't wake him. Really, we don't need..." But Hagrid had already stepped over the great trunk in front of them and was proceeding toward Grop. When he was around 10 feet away, he lifted a long, broken bough from the ground, smiled reassuringly over his shoulder at Harry and Hermione, and then poked Grop hard in the middle of the back with the end of the bough. The giant gave a roar that echoed around the silent forest. Birds in the treetops overhead rose, twittering on their perches, and soared away. In front of Harry and Hermione, meanwhile, the gigantic Grop was rising from the ground, which shuddered as he placed an enormous hand upon it to push himself onto his knees, and then turned to see who and what had disturbed him. And I think we'll stop there. Just a little short one for tonight, because it's so late. And you have to get up early, because you're a sweet kitten. And you're going to see some places tomorrow, and I hope you get a wonderful place.
Yay!
I love you so much, kitten.
Love you too. Good night.
Good night, kitty. Keep up. I love you.